Hello everybody, welcome to Happy Little Houseplants. This week we will be talking about the Monstera, which I'm super excited about. I recently got my first Monstera, so here's the story. I got a cutting, a rooted cutting of a Monstera at a plant sale, and I was super excited, and I potted it up, but it's been a few months now, and I'm not seeing any growth or anything like that. So it's still in its pot, but I am a little bit skeptical. So I did buy a big Monstera that is already split, and it's a full plant, and I'm super happy with it. So near the end of the podcast, we'll go over where I got it from and why I recommend it. But for now, let's dive into the care. So the varieties, there are a few varieties that we want to just talk about. They mostly all have the same care, except the variegated ones do need a little bit more sunlight on average, just because the white means they don't have chlorophyll, which is what's necessary to process sun. We could talk about that at a later episode because I love talking about plant botany, but for now we will talk about the varieties. So the most common type is regular green. It just stands up on stems, it doesn't vine. So that's the kind I have. That's the Monstera deliciosa. And yeah, that's the common one. The other common one that's almost as common is the one that's kind of vining, and splits in the leaf almost look kind of ripped in a way. I don't know. I like the Monstera adansonii, which is this one, but it's not my favorite one compared to the other varieties. So it vines, it kind of has ripped holes. It's technically a philodendron, so that's the Monstera adansonii, but it's very similar care. So then if you're going to get kind of rare and expensive, we have variegated white, which is the Albo variegatum, and it usually shows up as a lot of white parts and some green parts, like half and half or a little more green than white. But so that one's nice, but pretty expensive, very expensive. And then if you want to get even rarer, there is the Thai Constellation. So that one is, as the name suggests, it's spots of white that definitely remind you of a constellation, and it's super rare, but it's really nice. And if you want to see a picture of it, you could obviously go online, but there is an Instagrammer that I follow, Keaton Verdon, who just got a Thai constellation, and it's super pretty and really big. So that's Keaton Verdon on Instagram. So those are the varieties. Just note that unless you're willing to dish out a lot of money, you probably won't be able to find the variegated or Thai constellation, but Monstera in general can be pretty expensive, just because it's very popular. And so now let's go into the care. So for light, right now I have mine in a west, just off a west window. I would say that west window is a little bit dimmer than most west windows might be, just because it's got a house in front of it, so it's just off that west window. You just kind of want bright but indirect sunlight. Filtered light is great. If you have a skylight by any chance, that could be really good for it. It would encourage it to grow up. Just like west or east windows are probably best. And then water once the first inch or so of the soil feels dry or nearly dry. So that's what I've been doing. Obviously, if it's like a 2-inch pot, then a little bit less than the first inch. And if it's like really big pot, then more than the first inch. But for like a 6-inch to 12-inch pot, then just the first inch or so of the soil feels about dry. So it is native to tropical rainforest, so it will require some humidity. you can just mist it. That's great. You could use a pebble tray. That's what I'm doing. I'm doing misting and pebble tray. If you've got a humidifier near it or you have a humidity plant area, that's good too. My humidity plant area is made of pretty small plants, so I didn't put it there. But, so yeah, misting, all that. It's ideal to keep it, if you have a hygrometer, you're looking to be exact, above 40% humidity. But it can dip below that occasionally, but for it to really thrive, you definitely need it in above 40% humidity. One way I like to get the dust off, which we will talk about earlier, is to take it in the shower. So that gives you some really good humidity, and if there some water gets on the leaves, that's great. It will give it a thorough watering. So if it's not too big, it's good to take it in the shower with you, or just put it there. That'd be great. So yeah. So now we're gonna move on to the pests and all that. So the pests that are common for the Monstera include mealybugs, spider mites, scale, and whitefly. So Monstera can be a little bit prone to pests. I would say that, but luckily they don't have a lot of fine hairs or small leaves or anything like that, so it shouldn't be too hard unless it's a huge Monstera. So every week or so you should wipe down the leaves with just some water. I sometimes add a tiny bit of dish soap, a gentle, mild dish soap that's not super scented, just to prevent any insects and make it extra clean. So just wipe it down. You don't need to use a super wet paper towel or rag. It just needs to be damp just to get the dust off. Dust may get in the way of photosynthesis and just make the plant not look as good overall. So check when you're wiping off the leaves, the stem, the tops, and the underside of the leaves, and then also where the stem meets the leaf, just to make sure there's no pests. So that's the lowdown on those. Now we are going to talk about the fenestrations, or the splits. So one of the most attractive parts about the Monstera is that it has these beautiful splits in it that are just so tropical and nice looking, and it really adds interest to the leaf. So the fenestrations first appear as a hole kind of in the leaf, and as it gets bigger, the hole travels farther and farther near the edge of the leaf, and eventually that hole just splits the leaf. And so the little hole will appear usually as the leaf is about 6 to 8 inches large, and at about 10 to 14 inches you will see that the hole has just split off fully. So so if you didn't already know this, the smaller leaves aren't split yet, and this is because the reason the Monstera is split is because of the wind. You know, when it climbs up a really big tree or when it's really tall, these splits can help it not get blown down by the wind. And so the little ones, the little leaves, aren't up tall where the wind is, and so they don't need to be fenestrated, but the bigger ones do, and that's why the splits get bigger and bigger. So it is a little annoying when you have a small Monstera plant and it is just not split. It's just a bunch of green leaves. I'm pretty sure you can get varieties where it splits younger, but the common Monstera does split. And then once the leaf gets really big, the Monstera I have is not fenestrated like this, but it will not only have the splits on the edges, but it'll start to produce more of the little holes. Any big Monstera you might see on Instagram or online, you will probably see that, but that's really pretty when it does do the all the second round of fenestration. That's the fenestration. And then for the fruiting and flowering. It's pretty rare to see it fruit and flower indoors. It needs to be in optimal conditions, needs to be really big. But if it does, I'm not sure what the flower looks like, but the fruit is edible. It's similar to like mango or papaya. That's why Monstera can sometimes be called the fruit salad plant, because that's kind of what the fruit tastes like. So it is edible as long as the little scales or bumps on the fruit slides off easily. That means it's ripe, and when it's not ripe, it's poisonous. So definitely, if your Monstera does happen to fruit, which is super rare, then you should consult a professional, just because it's super poisonous if you eat it at the wrong time. And speaking of poisonous, the leaves are also poisonous. So just keep it away from any pets or small children. So for propagation, the most common way to propagate it is water propagation. So I talked about this in the propagation station episode. That's all what it's about, pretty much. So if you want to know more about it, then you can. So cut them just below the nodes. So the nodes are the swollen bumps. They might have a little brown line around it. And if you're not clear on what the node is, just look it up. So cut it right below there, like about a fourth of an inch below there, and place it in some water. Make sure to change out the water every few days, and eventually roots will appear. And once the roots are pretty mature, a few inches, you can pot it up. So obviously, as you heard about in the first part of the episode, I haven't had a lot of success with the propagation. I did get a rooted one, and it hasn't really worked so far, but it has worked for a lot of people, so I don't know. I might try it again. So if you want to do that, I would consider listening to my propagation station episode. And then, so now let's talk about aerial roots. So, aerial roots are best left on. So, once the Monstera is pretty big, it will start to produce, like, some roots. I'm not exactly clear what they look like. I do have a pothos that produces aerial roots, and the roots are just, like, weird brown kind of root type things hanging out. So aerial roots are a good sign for your Monstera, and I've just heard that you can tuck them into the soil. You can leave them on. It's best to just leave them on because it helps them soak up nutrients from the air around them. If they really bother you, you could just cut them off, but I wouldn't. So that is for the care of the Monstera and the other fun facts. And if you listen to the end of this episode, I will tell you my recommendation for buying Monstera, because it can be super expensive, like just crazy expensive, especially if you want one that's already fenestrated. So listen to the end of this episode for some recommendations on where to buy them. Okay, I'm back. So as promised, we are going to talk about my recommendations for where to buy them. So you could obviously, totally, if you just want to splurge on a plant, you could buy them big or small or whatever you want. It could be upwards of $100 if you want one that's big enough to already be fenestrated. So just keep that in mind. So I've been wanting a Monstera for a long time. And I was just at the Home Depot a few days ago, and I went into the greenhouse to check out the plants, and I found this very large Monstera. I would say the biggest leaves are about 13 inches, and it's very big. It's pretty healthy, actually. I got it for $25, which I was really impressed with. It came in, like, already with, like, a white pot, and I was pretty impressed with it. They aren't the best quality, so, not the best quality, I would say. I did have to cut two of the leaves off because they were just, like, lime green and, like, kind of ripped a little bit and crumpled up. So, obviously there will be some, you'll have to cut some off. I did find one or two snails, very small, what I'm pretty sure is snails on the plant, which I just wiped off. I'm not super concerned about them. So if you're willing to have a plant that might be pest infected, might be a little bit sad, but will be for a super good deal, then you could get it at somewhere like Home Depot. That's where I got it. I don't know if they will actually have that at the Home Depot where you are, but my Home Depot had it just in the houseplant section. They also have some pretty affordable spotted begonias, which are really good, some raven's easies, which are really good, and some other plants like that. So I'm just quarantining my Monstera, letting it be by itself. I always quarantine my plants after taking them home, but this one I'm being especially cautious with because it came from Home Depot. So, yeah, but I'm really happy with the price. This is not an advertisement for Home Depot, and you could probably get similar Monsteras at other stores like that. I also looked at Lowe's. They don't have, at least my Lowe's doesn't have that. But, so yeah, I was just really happy with where I got it. So, good luck in finding a good Monstera, and I hope your plants stay happy until next week. Bye!